Okay. I have got the best seat in the house. It's very comfortable here. So ups and downs of life. I know much about the ups and downs of life. Even today I went up in Singapore Airlines flight SQ223 coming to Perth, and I came down again in Changi this afternoon. But I don't think that's what we really mean by the ups and downs of life. Can you hear that okay? Can you hear that better? Okay. Well, I told a joke. You didn't laugh. I hope it was because you didn't hear it. I was just saying the ups and downs of life. I came up this morning in Singapore Airlines flight from Perth, and I came down again this afternoon in Changi Airport. So that's my ups and downs for today. But even though you go up and down, as a Buddhist monk, as a meditator, as a person who has understood much of the way of life, you can keep even no matter what happens in life. For example, this morning in Perth, it was in Australia, it was very cold. And I came to the airport and it was very hot. So how can you keep an evenness in the ups and downs of the temperatures? And I keep saying to people that when it's hot, you keep a cool head. And when it's cold, you keep a warm heart. And if you... Okay, you can clap if you want. In other words, keeping a cool head means you don't get upset at the ups and downs of life. Because the ups and downs of life are part of our journey. Too often that we don't understand the full picture of life. And when it goes wrong, we complain. And it reminds me of a story which is not in my book, but should be in the next one, coming out soon. I know marketing now. It is the story of this man who came to see my teacher many years ago in Thailand. He had been drafted in the army in Thailand. He did not want to go, but national service, you have to. And when he was on patrol in one of the border areas of Thailand, he was shot and wounded. And after he'd recovered from his wound, he came to see my master, asking, "What bad karma have I done? Why did this happen to me? What bad luck I have that I was shot and wounded?" And my teacher looked at him and said, "What do you mean, bad luck? You're a soldier. That's what happens to soldiers. You shoot bullets at other people. Other people will shoot bullets back at you. And some of those bullets will hit. It's what we call par for the course. It's part of life. If you read the small print of the agreement when you go and join an army, it will say in there somewhere that you can get shot at by the enemy. So, don't you understand that that happens when you join an army?" And my teacher continued by saying, "That's what happens when you join the human race. Before you were born, you should have looked at the small print. It would have said that you can die at any time through tsunami, or through earthquake, or through cancer, or through any other means. You can die at any time." And it's the same with sometimes people get upset when they have problems in their marriage. "Didn't you read the small print before you got married? What do you expect of husbands? What do you expect of wives? I've counseled many of them, and I'll tell you from experience, they're all the same. So don't so don't think that your one is specially sort of wrong
and you chose a wrong model. What I'm saying here is that when we have the big picture of life, we realize that the ups and the downs of life, the pleasures and the pains, the successes and the failures, are all part of this wonderful thing we call life. And it's not that something has gone wrong. We don't blame when we have the full picture. Because this is something which is probably happening now in Yogyakarta, in the area where there's been an earthquake. When people recover, when they build their homes again, they'll be asking, why did this happen to us? Why are so many people killed or made homeless? Now the point is that this is our life. You cannot blame anybody. It's not somebody's fault. It's part and parcel of this thing we call our lives. As soon as we stop complaining and accept that, then we can do something about it. Many of you may remember that tsunami, and I was in Penang when that tsunami hit. And, of course, I was quite safe somewhere else teaching a retreat. If people were in the temples meditating instead of by the beach, many people would have been okay. It's just like recently, I gave some talks in Adelaide, and it was at a Sri Lankan temple. But at that time, the Sri Lankan cricket team were playing the Australian cricket team in Adelaide. So when I gave the talk, there weren't many Sri Lankan people coming to the temple to listen to me. They were all going to see the cricket. When they came the following day, because the following day there was no cricket on, I told them, you should have come to the temple yesterday to listen to my talk, because your cricket team lost. And that was your fault. No, just seriously, that when we see the big picture in life, we realize that blaming somebody else or complaining that something is gone wrong misses the point and stops us doing something about the downs of life. So if that's you who has lost your job, or whose partner has cheated on you, or there's a death, or you've lost all your stocks in the market, whatever it is happened to you, don't go blaming yourself or blaming other people. Those of you who have read my book know that blaming somebody else for your difficulties and suffering is like having an itch on your head and scratching your bum. If you've got an itch on your head and you scratch your bottom, you get two itches for the price of one. And the original itch does not go away. So stop blaming either a god or karma or the government or anybody. In the downs of life, we don't feel guilty, we don't blame. Instead, we stop and learn how to do something about it. Because all the problems of life are opportunities to learn, to grow, to be wise, and eventually to be compassionate. I think that many of you should know that you don't know how to love until you've been hurt. It is the disappointments in life which teaches us why we should be kind. It is death which teaches us the importance of life. This is a story which my teacher would tell very often. He would pick up a cup And he would tell me, Ajahn Brahm, can you see the crack in this cup? And I would look at it and say, I can't see any crack. And he said, there's a crack there, but it is so small that you can't see it yet. But one day, someone will drop that cup, or it will fall over, and that crack will expand, and the whole cup will shatter. He said, because it's a crack, because it is fragile, that's why we must care for this cup. If this glass, this cup, was made out of plastic, if it was indestructible, you would not need to care for it. You could kick it, drop it, it wouldn't matter. Because it is fragile, that's why we must care. He said it's the same with human beings. Because we are fragile, because one day we will die, that's why we must care. Because we do have cancers, because we do have tsunamis and earthquakes, because our children go to all corners of the earth, that means while they're here, that's why we must care. Because one day they won't be here. In all the tragedies of life, they're teaching us a lesson. I remember at school, when I was a young boy, the teachers who were the fiercest were the ones I learned the most from. I did not like them, but afterwards I remembered what they taught me. The downs of life are the same. They are your teachers, because they teach you what is really important in life. So, for example, when I was a young monk in Thailand, one of the things which I hated the most was the mosquitoes. Some of you will know that in the Thai forest tradition, we try and spread loving kindness to all beings. We have a chant which goes, may all beings be happy and well. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from pain. May all beings not be separated from the happiness they have gained. May all beings be free. But when I was in Thailand, I had to make a new chant, never heard before in Buddhism. My chant was, may all beings be happy except mosquitoes. May all beings be free from suffering except those blooming mosquitoes. Because those mosquitoes, they were so irritating, especially for Nang Mo. There was a good reason for that. Number one, in Thailand is a Buddhist country for many hundreds of years. So all the mosquitoes in Thailand were genetically programmed. They'd evolved. Whenever they saw a brown robe, they knew it was a safe dinner, that they wouldn't be swatted. Number two, you can see as a monk, you have more exposed skin. You've got more seats at the table, and especially the bald head. You guys have got protection. Me, nothing. But lastly, I was one of the first Western monks in this part of Thailand. So this was the first time that the Thai mosquitoes had Western food. You know what it's like when Western food first comes to a country? Everyone wants to try it out. It's fashionable. I'm sure all the mosquitoes were telling their friends, "Hey guys, there's Western food at this monastery, come and try it out." And we didn't have any mosquito repellent. No mosquito nets, no cream to put on your skin. We just had to endure. So when we complained to our master, Ajahn Chah, you know what Ajahn means? Ajahn means teacher. So he said, "Stop complaining. From now on," he said, "call those mosquitoes Ajahn Mosquito. From now on, they will be your teachers." What he was telling us, that some of the painful, difficult things of life, they are your real masters. They are the ones you learn the most from. They are giving you the opportunity. So please, stop complaining with the downs of life. It's a great opportunity to learn and to grow. If somebody dies, yes, there was a crack in them from the time they were born. Now it's opened up and their body has fallen apart. Never forget that the other people you love are also of the same make. They too have got a crack in them. They too will one day die. So if that's your parents, they're not always going to be here. You don't know the day, the time, when they will die. Because of that, we have to care. There is no time to waste. If you have done anything improper towards your mother or father, please ask forgiveness as soon as possible, which means tonight. Don't wait even till tomorrow. Because tomorrow, who knows whether they'll still be here or not. When you understand the teaching of the great earthquake in Yogyakarta, is teaching us we must care for each other, especially our parents. There's no time to argue. It's the same with our partner in life. Too often in our modern world, husbands and wife have a hard time getting on. There is too much arguments. There is too much bad feeling. And why is that? Because we don't really value each other. We live as if we've got years and years and years in the future. What would happen if you knew that tomorrow, just after I left, there's going to be an earthquake in Singapore? Now that's not true, but if that was the case, what would you do in the next 2 days? How would you live? What would you say to your wife, to your husband, or to your kids? Now you understand what I mean about the simile of the cup being cracked. We want to be able to care. Now are we going to do the Chinese translation? Okay, I think I've said enough for the moment. We'll do a translation into Chinese. And it gives me a time to have a glass of water from my cracked cup. If you're going to crack, there's another session coming straight after. Do you want to try this one? It's okay.
大家晚上好，今天由我稍微翻译一下阿詹所讲的一些所说的法。那么今天因为时间的关系，我只能非常扼要的翻译一下阿詹所说的法。那么一开始呢，阿詹先介绍了今天的主题今天的课题，也就是如何解决生活中的各种起起落落。那么阿詹第一就说呢，我们习佛的人不管在怎么样的情况之下， 都要懂得怎么维持我们心灵中的平静啊。那么不需要为生活中的起落感到烦恼啊。啊，对不起，我这里有一个小通告，车牌 SBM80D 啊，这个 Hyundai 啊，有人这个挡住啊，这个另外一辆车子的通道，希望可以移一下。
The car owner of SBM80B, a Hyundai, can you please move your car because you're blocking someone? Now, if any one of you is parked illegally, you're almost sure you're going to get a ticket tonight because usually the residents will call the police. So I'd rather you give your donation to Buddhist Fellowship than give the traffic police. So can you please go move your car? Thank you.
那么呢，在我们人生的旅程中呢，有各种起起落落的时候。很多时候呢，我们不了解这是生活的一个步骤，一种过程，所以一直懂得一直埋怨。那么阿詹这个时候给了一个例子，阿詹的导师就是已故的阿詹查，当时呢他有这么一个经历啊，那时候有一个泰国人被强招入伍打仗，结果在这战争的过程中受到这个枪伤。他好了以后，他就问阿詹查，那么为什么是我是什么业力导致我有这种后果，是什么霉运？那么阿詹查就说了，这不算是霉运，你身为一个军人人家射你，你持枪射回他人，那么你就要肯定自己可能会有一招被人家枪杀，这其实就是你征召入伍的时候的肯定会发生的一件事情。那么如果我们以同样的这个例子观看我们生活的话，那么如果我们一出生就一定会死这是一个生活的一个过程那么人一生下来就一定会死也可能会中癌症，有各种病痛，甚至可能会经历海啸、大地震等等。那么小的来说，可能我们的婚姻也会出现各种不美满的情况。那么阿詹说呢，他在这个时候曾经就是辅导过很多夫妻他知道每个丈夫每个妻子所有的问题都是非常相似的千万不要以为自己的丈夫或者是妻子是独一无二的，是不应该有某种错误的，因为每个人犯的错误都非常相似。那么如果我们从比较大的角度来看我们的生活的话，那么人生的起落只是人生的一个部分，不需要去要埋怨，也不需要说到底是谁做错了。那么比如说印尼的大地震这么多人死亡，这么多人流离失所，那么为什么呢其实没有人，这是没有人的错所以我们不应该继续埋怨别人，或是认为某一个人错了反过来呢，我们应该停止埋怨别人，开始正面的去解决问题。那么如果我们只懂得埋怨的话，那么我们就错误了，因为如果我们以为自己的问题是别人产生的话而去埋怨别人的话就好像如果我们的屁股痒去抓我们的头一样，那么结果只是两头都痒。那么生活的问题就是我们最好的导师，能够教会我们慈悲以及智慧这时候阿詹引用了一种一个俗语，就是直到我们受到伤害我们才懂得去爱，直到有人死去我们才会懂得珍惜生活。这时候呢，他给了一个阿詹茶的一个譬喻，那么我们的杯子可能有一个小缝隙但是如果我们把杯子掉在地上，会因为这个小缝隙而完全碎裂。那么这个杯子是脆弱的，所以需要关怀和照顾，就好像人一样，人的身心是非常脆弱的，会受伤害，会死，会经历天灾人祸，所以我们更要懂得珍惜别人那么生活中最艰苦的这个经历，就是我们最好的老师。就说阿詹查给了对不起，阿詹布拉姆给了一个例子阿詹布拉姆是泰国这个丛林寺院的僧人他修行这个慈心观，他必须说愿众生平安喜乐，愿众生远离痛苦。但是由于他是一个西方的僧人，非常不适应这个很温热的这个温度还有蚊子，所以他念的时候就说希望众生平安喜乐，众生远离痛苦除了蚊子以外那么 OK， 因为这个蚊子的问题呢，阿詹布拉和其他的弟子曾经向阿詹查投诉。阿詹查的建议就是说呢，其实你应该把这些蚊子称为阿詹。阿詹的这个翻译就是老师啊，艰苦的经历会教会我们宝贵的生活道理。当我们看到有人有病痛死亡的时候，希望大家可以联想到自己的父母朋友一样是这么的脆弱，需要及时的爱护，不要等待其他的时候，可能因后一位没有这个机会了。那么同样的，婚姻里头也可能会有很多争执，那是因为我们对对方怀有太多的负面的这个感情了啊。那么我们应该回想，如果明天会有大地震的话，那么我们这个时候最想做的是什么？应该对他们说些什么
？Very good, I've enjoyed that. Of course, I didn't understand a word of that. It reminded me of when I was a monk in Thailand, when I first went there, and sometimes my teacher Ajahn Chah would not just teach in Thai or Laotian just for 5 minutes. Sometimes you go on for 5 or 6 hours, and I couldn't understand a word of it. So, if those of you who are getting bored and getting upset, why can't we just have these talks in English? Imagine what I had to do. Now remember, whatever you don't like,That's your teacher. So remember, never complain, but learn that this is an opportunity just to make peace. So one of the things which I realized in my life which helps me with the ups and downs of life, when you understand that all life has ups and downs and it's nothing wrong with you, it's part of life, is to learn how to make peace with the ups and make peace with the downs. Before I was a monk, when I was growing up in the UK, I used to go to all of these rock concerts as a young man.And I'm not sure if any of you are that age as me, but I remember seeing the very first concert of Led Zeppelin. I saw the Rolling Stones when I was only 11 years of age. And you know what? I really was very upset at all the girls. I wanted to listen to the music. All they wanted to do is see Mick Jagger. And they were screaming and screaming so loud I could hear nothing.But all of those times, especially in the late 60s, it was the era of the hippies. Now, I was not into drugs, but I did have long hair at that time. If you saw me then and compared me with now, I've changed a lot. But nevertheless, I used to be a pacifist. I would keep going around saying, make peace, not war.Make peace, not war. And I haven't changed. Whenever there is an up or a down, I make peace, not war. So you make peace with whatever you have to deal with in life. That way, the disappointments,You can make peace with them. If there's nothing you can do about it, then what should you do? Nothing. When there's nothing to do, the answer is to do nothing. When there's something to do, you give it everything you've got. Whether it's an up or a down in your life, have a look to see whether there's an opportunity to do something.One of the key stories in my book, which shows you how to deal with the difficult moments of life, not just to use it as a teacher, but how you can deal with these occasions, is the story of one of my fellow school teachers who during the Second World War was fighting the Japanese in Burma. Now this was big time war. Either you got shot, if you got captured, that was even worse. And many British soldiers did die. And here was this young man from England, only maybe 20 or 21, fighting for his life. On this one occasion, he was with a small number of soldiers on a patrol in the jungle when, by bad luck, they stumbled into a huge number of Japanese. Soon they were completely surrounded and heavily outnumbered. What would you do at war, surrounded, outnumbered? He thought he was about to die. He was quite surprised, even though he thought he would only have a few minutes left to live. He wasn't afraid. He was courageous. He thought what I should do, what we all should do, is to try and escape, even though the chances are minuscule. Maybe one of us might get through. And even if we don't, we can kill some of the enemy. They can come with us into death. That's what soldiers are supposed to do. That's what real men are supposed to do. But that's not what the captain was about to do. He said, "No, we will not fight our way out." Instead, he said, "We will all sit down and have a cup of tea." Because it was the British Army. And you all know what the British Army is like. That's one of the reasons why the British, they lost all their economy. They were spending too much time drinking tea and not enough time working. It's interesting, this is just a side. You know my teacher Ajahn Chah, he visited the West only once. He went to England. And when he returned, we asked him, did he learn any words of English? He said he did learn one word, and only one word. We asked, what was that? He said, cup of tea. But anyhow, so they had to make a cup of tea. Imagine that, at war, surrounded by the enemy, about to die, and you had to make a cup of tea. He thought his captain was crazy. He thought he was mad. Maybe the temperature in the jungles had got to him and driven him crazy. But orders had to be followed. Thinking this was the maddest thing he'd done in his life, and imagining that only a few minutes were left of that life, he made a cup of tea. And in that time, the scout came back, whispered something into the ear of the captain, and the captain whispered to all the troops, "Come together. We've just found out the enemy has moved. There's a gap. Quick, let's escape." And so very quietly, they all crawled through that gap in the surrounding forces. They all escaped without any harm at all. And that person who told me that story said he owes his life to the wisdom of that captain. If that was him, he'd try to shoot his way out and he would have died, for sure. But the wisdom of the captain was, when you are surrounded by an enemy and there's no way out, there's nothing you can do, then sit down and make a cup of tea. Have a cup of coffee if you prefer coffee, or Milo, or just make some noodles. I don't know what you like here. But whatever, If there's nothing to do, sit down and relax. And if you sit down and relax, relax to the max, then life is always changing. Things are never permanent. Situations alter. And if you are ready and waiting, when the opportunity comes, then you can take it. Like they did, they escaped. And that man told me that it wasn't just once that that story saved his life in the difficulties he faced, but many, many times. Sometimes it was a great problem with his wife, maybe about to get divorced. Maybe there was a sickness, like a cancer, which the doctor said was incurable. Maybe there was economic problems. But whenever it seemed that he was surrounded by an enemy, either disease, finances, or whatever, and there was no way out, he would just relax. Have a cup of tea and wait. There is always an opportunity comes. But the reason why people go down, the reason why people increase their suffering, is because when that opportunity does arise, we've been so worried, frantic, that we're worn out, we're tired, we're unable to take the opportunities when they come. So, in your life, when there is nothing to do, do nothing. Wait until there is something to do, and then you take that opportunity. That's how you're successful in life. That's how the downs don't stay down for very long, and the ups stay up for a great deal of time. It's just the way that we react. Negatively, unwisely, uncompassionately, we do things and there's no way that what we do can serve any purpose at all. So this way, we can have a strategy for life. When there's nothing to do, do nothing and enjoy yourself. If the doctor comes along and says, I'm sorry, you've got a cancer, it's incurable. Incurable? Well, it's a waste of time doing chemotherapy or radiation therapy. I might as well go off and enjoy myself. Just like that friend of mine who's at home one day, the doctor rang up and said, I'm sorry, sir, you've got cancer, incurable. He was so shocked, like many people are. He didn't feel ill. But what happened? He'd always promised his family to go on a trip to Europe, so he bought first-class tickets for everybody. And it was only when he had those tickets, the doctor rang up again. I'm sorry to tell you this, sir, there's been a mistake. It happens even in Singapore. This was in Australia. Two people with the same surname. They got the results mixed up. But of course, he went on that holiday. He never sued his doctor. He counts the doctor as his great teacher, because that experience taught him the importance and meaning of life. He enjoyed that holiday with his family. When there's nothing to do, he was enjoying himself. But things always change. There's no such thing as a certainty. I know many people who have had cancers. There's this one guy, he's indestructible, this Burmese man. When I first went to Perth 23 years ago, a few months after I went there, he was diagnosed with leukemia. It was untreatable. There's no possibility of him living more than 3 or 4 months. And that was 23 years ago. He's still going strong. So sometimes we just don't know. Because of the uncertainties of life, It means there's always opportunities going to happen to us. So when there's nothing to do, we do nothing. When there's something to do, we give everything we've got. And we make use of our opportunities. I don't know how many of you read the graduation address at Stanford University last year given by Steve Jobs. You know Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computers? You know that he was kicked out of that business which he founded? The board voted to sack him? Imagine that happening to you. Even when you got sacked from a company you didn't found, you get upset. Imagine that was your company. Imagine if Mr. McDonald got sacked from McDonald's. Or Colonel Sanders got kicked out of Kentucky Fried Chicken. You'd be rightly upset. But what does a positive-minded person do when they get the sack? You know what Steve Jobs did? After resting for a while, he started another company. You know what that company was called? Pixar. Another multi-million dollar company. So this is what we do. There is no such thing as a down. There's just opportunities, ajans, teachers, to make us grow and become sometimes in business more competitive, in life, give it more meaning, and in our own relationships to become more forgiving and more compassionate. All the downs of life are where we really learn. It's tough at the time, but without those difficulties, we wouldn't grow to be the people we are. Look at Nelson Mandela. How many years did he spend in jail? And that made him the person he is today. How many other people have gone through such great suffering? And that makes them the wise, kind leaders, the real leaders, which inspire us and which give us hope for the future. It's through the difficult times that we really learn. And I don't know how many times I've heard this in Australia and here in Singapore as well. So many people who had cancer have told me they wouldn't have given up that experience for the world. It was painful. It was very uncomfortable, very scary. But when they get through that, as many people do, wow, that was a learning experience they would have never given away. That's where they really understood about kindness, about caring for other people, about what's really important in life, and how to value every moment which we have in this human form. I am just reporting what I heard again and again and again. If you haven't had cancer, you may not understand that. But once you're through it, on the other side, you learn so much. That's why these things are here. So we can really understand what life, what love, what forgiveness is all about. Okay, next please.
阿詹这个时候就说了，他说：“我们应该借着每个艰苦的一个阶段，学习怎么样让自己的心安定下来，如何在逆境中维持心境的安定。”那么， 那时候呢，他还在年轻的时候，常常去看一些摇滚的这个音乐会啊。那时候他非常不高兴，因为女生常常尖叫啊，抢这个歌手的这个夹克等等。那么他什么也没有听到，所以他觉得不大开心。那个时候还是嬉皮士的时候，他还留着长头发。那个时候呢，他主张不要打仗，应该尽量维持世界和平。到现在为止，他出家了。他这个观点还是没有变啊。这个时候呢，阿詹就说了一个道理，他说如果在某一种情况下没有解决方法的这个没有解决方法的话，那么解决的方法就是什么东西都不做啊。那么如果有解决方法的话，那么我们就应该全心全力的解决这个问题啊。阿詹就引述他的一个经历，他说当时这个他还是这个他在教书的时候，有位同僚也是老师。当时呢，他在这个世界第二次大战在文莱的地方呢，跟日军交战。那时候很多英军都死亡了。那么这个二十多岁的年轻人呢，就在这个很这个浓密的森林里头，为了自己的这个存亡而奋斗。这时候呢，英军的这个小队碰上了大组的这个日本兵。那么如果你在这个情况下，你会怎么办呢？像我们很多人一样，他的第一个想法就是希望拼死呢冲出这个重围，就算死掉也要把一些日军带着一起走。但是他的长官呢却持有另外一个意见，他决定呢趁这个时候就在生活的最后几分钟停下来喝一杯茶啊。这个年轻人当然以为他的长官一定是疯了，不过因为他是纪律部队，必须服从这个长官的号令。那么就在这个人生只剩下的最后的几分钟呢，他就停了下来喝了一杯茶。这个时候突然间有哨兵就进来通知长官，说这个日军其实没有发现他们，还有一个空隙，他们就趁这个空隙逃脱了。从这里我们学习到一个道理，也就是如果我们没有解决的方法的话，不妨坐下来完全放松自己的心情，因为时机会不断的变化。那么如果我们静下来慢慢的等，可能会有利的情形出现，帮助我们解决问题。那么这个他的这个同僚呢，也在其他的时候，在婚姻有出现问题的时候，经济出现问题的时候，甚至自己患上绝症的时候呢，采取同一个方法，就是完全放松心情啊，等待，什么都不做。就是因为我们常常在逆境中太过焦虑，所以没有办法把握好改变这个情况的这个机会。那么我们应该呢以这个安定的心、慈悲的心处理事情，那么我们的生活就会有更多的起的地方，比较少落的地方。这可以成为我们这个处理人生各种问题的策略。就比如说他的这位同僚在晚年呢被诊断说中了这个癌症。那么他在死前的几个月呢，他就花了很多钱买了头等机票，带家人一起出国游玩。在他上飞机之前，医院打来告诉他说，其实这是医院的错误，是同名同姓的另一个人。那么虽然如此，他还是决定带这个家人一起去享受一下这个旅行。那么从这里我们了解一个道理，就是生活有太多的未知数，但是未知数也表示这里有很多可以扭转情形的机会。起落是我们的老师，同时呢艰苦的生活经历也间接的塑造我们的这个性格。就好像曼德拉一样，他的人生中有很多年是在这个牢狱里面度过的，但是因为他的这个经历，所以他成为了一个非常慈悲有智慧的政治家。在新加坡呢，也有很多这个患癌症的病人告诉阿詹，如果他们有机会重来过的话，他们希望绝对不会放弃有这个癌症经过了这个经历，因为通过这个癌症的经历，他们学习到很多宝贵的人生道理，懂得这个珍惜生活。那么这些呢，都是阿詹听来的一些生活经历，他是引述这些人所说的话。
Very good, thank you. 谢谢。